Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here at the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today, we believe in and totally support the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution that says, and I quote, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." This amendment has been the subject of discussion many times here on Stand in the Gap, but today we're going to approach it in a different light. Our special guest is Mr. Alex Sitman, who will lead us in a discussion on the specific subject, the benefits to our society when our government endorses the Second Amendment. And that, of course, is going to be our discussion during the first two segments. Then, as we go into the third segment, we're going to be talking about something that has just come to our attention, and that is the great persecution among Christians over in North Korea. There are many people who are really upset about President Trump talking about fire, fury, and power. But when you find out how the Christians are being persecuted over there, you may see why it's important for us to do something there and do it rather quickly. And then, here on Stand in the Gap, we like to encourage pastors and help pastors in their ministry. And so today, we're going to also be talking about pastors preaching to the issues that face society and the body of Christ. And the goal of this discussion will be to encourage pastors to make their preaching relevant by bringing the Word of God to bear on the issues of the day. So we have a lot lined up for you over these next few minutes, and wherever you are listening to us on one of our 450 radio stations, we thank you for the pleasure of your company. I am Gary Dahl. Sam and David are off today, and so Keith Wiebe is with me. Keith, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today, my friend.
Thank you, Gary. Always a privilege to join you.
It's always a delight to have you there. Well, let's get started on this Second Amendment matter. And as I said, the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution says, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." Now, over the years, there has been an ongoing debate about whether this amendment was written with an application to the individual right or to the collective right to bear arms. Those who support the individual right side say that every American has the personal right to own a firearm for self-defense. Those who support the collective right side deny that the individual right is true, and say that the right belongs to the state or the government to arm a militia. But when you put all the wording together, according to our dear friend David New, it teaches us very clearly that the Second Amendment refers to the individual right to keep and bear arms, as well as the state right to maintain a militia. With that, we welcome to the program today Mr. Alex Sitman. Alex, you're a good friend of mine, aren't you?
Yes, sir, Gary.
I have. Let me turn on your mic. You want to repeat that?
Yes, sir, Gary, I am.
It's a delight to have you with us. And Alex is quite an interesting fellow in the type of occupation that he has. He's an interesting fellow in many other ways also. But Alex, what is your occupation that leads you to have a great interest in the Second Amendment?
Gary, for the past 31 years, I have built target rifles, and in the last probably 20, I've focused just on target rifle stocks for competitors all across the United States, as well as a lot of foreign countries up until 9/11, which has kind of curtailed that.
Hmm. That's great. Delighted to have you with us, Alex, and great to meet you. You know, the Second Amendment is under a lot of discussion today. It's controversial. I'm wondering why. Probably adding to that controversy is the fact that there appear to be some even within high levels of government that don't actually endorse the amendment. Tell us, in your view, what is it that makes the Second Amendment so controversial?
I think, Keith, that one of the things that makes it controversial is that we have forgotten our roots. I believe many have forgotten the roots that this country was founded upon. And I think a lot are just growing further and further away from that. I think also that what makes a lot of the gun issues controversial today is the fact that the media and others have exploited tragedy and the misuse of firearms to a point to where it's extremely negative. And a lot of issues today make the law-abiding citizen appear as criminals, to where the law-abiding person is getting more chastised for trying to follow the law than those who are not.
And, you know, I think that this is a sad situation to take into consideration, Alex, because many people have gotten themselves in trouble just by obeying the law and abiding by that which the Second Amendment establishes.
Without a doubt, our local paper had in it this morning about a lady from Georgia who went into New York, did everything the TSA required about telling them that she had a handgun. Her and her daughter were going into New York. She wanted it for protection. She had the bullets in one place and the handgun in the other, kept it under lock and key. Everything was good. She got into New York, put it in her hotel room under lock and key. It's when she left and did the same exact procedure, which followed all the laws, that they said to wait, and then they brought in authorities and arrested her. And she was arrested, and whenever she was questioned by this reporter, John Stossel, they said they arrested her and said that it was like she had a loaded gun, even though the gun and the ammo were in separate places. They still considered it to be a loaded gun, which is insane.
It doesn't make any sense. That's nonsensical.
No.
But that's the way the left, that's the way the liberal handle these issues today. Well, Alex, through your work, you are also involved with what is called the Civilian Marksmanship Program. What is that program and why was it established?
This is a great program. The CMP, as it's known, is a U.S. government chartered program that promotes firearm safety, rifle practice, and marksmanship skills of all types, rifle, pistol, handgun, to qualified U.S. citizens. They have to be qualified. They can't be those who are legally prohibited from obtaining firearms and stuff. Through special emphasis on training in the youth and others, the CMP works through a network of affiliated shooting clubs, and I believe they are affiliated in every state in the United States. And these shooting clubs and associations put on seminars. They have hunter safety. They have firearm safety courses. And what they do is they work with trained volunteers and coaches to promote the shooting sports and the safe handling of firearms to our youth.
Well, that's very interesting. And, of course, you know, I don't think many people are very familiar with this particular group, referred to as CMP by most people, correct?
Yes, Gary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion on the Civilian Marksman Program with Alex Sitman. There's some good information that we want to share with you, so you won't want to go away. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. We will be back right after these messages, so stay tuned.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses, and the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? you can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we are talking with Alex Sitman on an entity called the Civilian Marksmanship Program. And, of course, Alex, you believe that this program has a great impact upon our military, and so let's dig into this just a bit deeper in this segment of Stand in the Gap and see how significant that the CMP is. So, specifically, Alex, what impact has the Civilian Marksmanship Program had with the military down through the years? And even more specifically, has this program influenced any of the equipment used by our military troops today?
Well, Gary, if we would go back to the beginning of the Civilian Marksmanship Program back in 1903, whenever it was first enacted, one of the things that you'll find if you research our website is that it was to provide civilians opportunity to learn and practice marksmanship skills and the safe handling of firearms and everything so that they would be skilled marksmen. Now, I think this is important if later called on to serve in the U.S. military. And so when you start off with that foundation, the learning curve is much better. I just recently had a young man that graduated from flight school of went through the U.S. Naval Academy. And I asked him that question, knowing that I would be on this radio show. And I said, did your training, he went through similar types of marksmanship training and everything, does it help whenever you go to your basic training? And he said, without a doubt. He said, well, we take for granted those who have come up through the ranks of proper training with firearms. He said, is that, you know, when we're told about sight picture and squeeze and sight alignment and all that, he said, we have a working knowledge of that. And so the learning curve and that part of their training goes rather quickly compared to those who are not. Remember, a large part of our youth, the only thing they know of firearms is what they see on TV in Hollywood.
That's true.
And it's really, you know, not what we know it to be. Mm-hmm. So it has truly been a great influence in our military. And I think that as we see more and more use of ground troops and everything being used today, I think it has a great asset to our military, as well as those, many of those, Gary, who have come up through the CMP have later gone on to be part of the Army Marksmanship Unit. That train and compete all over the world, let alone just in the United States competitions. Marine Corps Marksmanship Unit and others, you know, other armed forces that have their own competition units. They've come up through. Local clubs that I know have sent young people from those camps and clubs into the military for that. And it has been a great benefit.
You know, I have a question to follow up on, and then I'll let Keith ask a question. I'm sure he has something in his mind. This CMP program sounds very interesting and significant to me. Recently, I was talking to General Jerry Boykin. I don't know if you know him, but he's quite well known. He's a Christian, born-again man, and loves the Lord. And he was telling me in the meeting that I had with him that many of the people today, the young people today, going into the military are not equipped physically, mentally and practically to fight. In fact, he said they might even consider having to expand the 6-week basic training because they're not ready. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these kids know nothing about firearms.
Without a doubt.
And because they're used to playing the video games mm-hmm. and so forth and so on. So in essence, this CMP program would help equip them to understand not only what firearms are, but how to use them adequately.
Without a doubt. And, you know, you have to understand that if you look at even their one of the headlines on their website, it says that the CMP is dedicated to the respect for and safe handling of firearms, instilling patriotism. You don't see that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Patriotism, right, and discipline in our youth participants. And so what these coaches who donate hours and hours of their time and these other helpers at the CMP camps and shooting clubs, what they do is they instill discipline. They instill these things that, let's face it, many parents are not taking the time to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things that we see today is that, you know, it's difficult, it seems like, parents to have time, quality time with their kids. And so if you're going to train a kid in the proper use of firearms,
mm-hmm,
it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot aren't doing that. And so here's the CMP with, they just built a new 500-acre facility in Alabama, state-of-the-art electronic targets for all shooting disciplines. It's tremendous what they do. And one of the great parts about the CMP is that they bring in, these clubs get equipment, 30 cal and 22 caliber surplus rifles. And they get them at bargain prices,
mm-hmm,
and they equip these clubs. Everything stays at the club. They also offer, if you are a member of such an association or club,
mm-hmm,
and that you are legally allowed, they also sell to the U.S. citizens,
mm-hmm,
these surplus weapons and other things. But just like we would today, you have to go through all the background checks. You have to be 100% legal to own those.
Mm-hmm.
But it not only enhances these clubs, but also those who want to continue after they, you know, get out of the age of the youth and everything,
sure,
to continue in the competitions.
Sure.
Alex,
that's great information.
It sounds like such a tremendous program, Alex. I can see the value for so many, even beyond just a shooting seal with marksmanship. You mentioned a little bit ago that CMP is available in practically every state.
Yes.
Somebody listening today is interested in getting involved. How would they find the nearest group? What would be the procedure?
Well, Keith, what I saw on as I researched that was, if you go to their website, if you just punch in CMP program, it'll come right up. They will help you find an affiliated club or association to place you in whatever state that you're in.
Okay.
Now, you said, what is that website? Do you know it?
If you would just Google CMP program, all the information you would need would come up on that.
Well, this is a very encouraging discussion. And friends, I would encourage you to check into it, particularly those of you who are interested in the Second Amendment and having young people trained in marksmanship and how to handle firearms. You, in your occupation, you work on some of these sniper rifles that have the ability to shoot very long distances, correct?
Yes, Gary.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into any more information than you might be allowed to share, but
mm-hmm,
this is quite a precision concept to develop as well, isn't it?
Right. I've been in this, like I said, 31 years, and the how it has evolved, especially in the last probably 15, has just been amazing. When you figure that what used to win a competition, a half-inch group at 100 yards, maybe 20 years ago, they're shooting that same group now at 300 yards. We have rifles in competition, bullseye shooting at competition, at 1,000 yards that have shot 5 shots in 1.7 inches. That's a golf ball. And now with this new ELR competition, which the next one will be in Nevada in a couple of weeks, they're shooting 2 mile. And so
2 mile.
Through 2 mile. And what has happened is, as all this competition has, you know, man has a way of putting his fingers in the pie and always looking for that perfect firearm or anything in competition. And so what it's done is, it has been so innovative that people have developed new ergonomically correct stocks. So in other words, when you take the military, how that's kind of transitioned. You take an average sniper rifle years ago, it was a one stock, and they would tape stuff on it. Mm-hmm. Where now you have adjustable butt plates and adjustable cheek pieces, because how do you fit? How does the military fit someone that's 5'7 or 6'5? You can't have a separate firearm for each one. And so you now have adjustable stocks. You have the scopes and everything. As these rifles are able to shoot longer with more and more extended range calibers, you have to develop scopes that we have now gone from 1-inch tube to 30 millimeter to allow for more mechanics inside, to allow for greater elevation and windage changes. Because at 2 mile, the fellow that won told me that a 1 mile an hour change in the wind changes the point of impact of the bullet 3 feet.
Wow.
So a lot's
Alex,
been done.
What intrigues me here, Alex, is this is obviously significant in the competition that you're describing. But if I'm understanding you correctly, our U.S. military is equipped with this kind of armament, which should really encourage us, shouldn't it, to the fact that those folks that are in harm's way in our behalf are very well equipped to protect us well.
Keith, you are correct, and there's always a bleed over from the civilian to military and military to civilian. I think we kind of feed off each other. And I can tell you that in those that I know in our armed forces that handle those firearms, they're some of the best trained shooters and marksmen and most disciplined people you'd ever want to meet. Mm. It is quite an exacting sport.
You know, we are almost out of time, but what can we do to protect our Second Amendment in 20 seconds?
Continue to fight for it and not back down. I mean, to me, I think make these kind of programs familiar with people. Get them out there. You never hear about this stuff.
That's right.
You don't hear about the good.
That's
right. I need to promote that.
Alex Tittman, thank you very much for sharing with us today and talking about the Civilian Marksmanship Program. And ladies and gentlemen, I would encourage you to Google that and find out all the information that you want to find out, need to find out about it. We're going to come back and talk about persecution in North Korea. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we would encourage you to listen to us on the regular basis, but also don't hesitate to download our app. If you have an iPhone or an Android, you can get that app by just typing in the app store there, Stand in the Gap, and it's a free app, and you can carry us with you no matter where you go, and we would appreciate it very much if you'll do that as we continue to bring pertinent information your way. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about North Korea. North Korea is in the news these days, and just some information that has recently broken in the last 24 hours, at least as far as I understand it, with regard to persecution over there in North Korea amongst the Christians. Keith, it's pretty serious when we take into consideration what's going on. You know, people are very concerned about what Donald Trump recently said, and I'm going to quote him. He said, "North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen." And he goes on to say he, talking about Mr. Un over there, has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which the world has never seen before. And of course, Donald Trump, President Trump, was referring to Kim Jong-un over there in North Korea. And a lot of people have been saying, oh, that's bad language. You shouldn't talk like that. But Keith, one of the things that we have found through Faith Wire is that religious freedom in North Korea is virtually not there. They just don't have it over there. As a matter of fact, an organization called Christian Solidarity Worldwide offers troubling details on how Kim Jong-un's regime tortures and mutilates and even kills Christians. The report basically says that in North Korea, the concept of religious freedom is largely non-existent, and faith-based persecution has been commonplace since the 1950s because religious beliefs are seen as a threat to the loyalty demanded by the supreme leader. And so Christians become the main target of abuse. The 2017 World Watch List, compiled by Open Doors, lists North Korea as the most oppressive place in the world for Christians due to the country's totalitarian regime and surveillance state that forces Christians to, quote, hide their faith completely from government authorities, neighbors, and listen to this, Keith, often their own spouses and children. The report goes on to say that many attempt to find freedom in South Korea or China, but those who are discovered are subject to imprisonment, labor camps, and in extreme cases, even death. Well, the Christian Solidarity Worldwide research further corroborated the Open Doors report, finding that Christians who usually practice their faith in secret simply to avoid the punishment that awaits if they are found out. And if discovered, they are subject to detention and then likely taken to political prison camps. The document reads, and I quote, crimes against them in these camps include extrajudicial killing, extermination, enslavement, forced labor, forcible transfer to population, arbitrary imprisonment, torture, persecution, enforced disappearance, rape, and sexual violence, as well as other inhumane acts. As a matter of fact, Keith, CSW goes on to document some of these known instances of gruesome torture against Christians in North Korea that says this. Documented incidents against Christians include, listen to this, Keith, being hung on a cross over a fire, crushed under a steamroller, herded off bridges, and trampled underfoot. A policy of guilt by association applies, meaning that the relatives of Christians are also detained regardless of whether or not they share the Christian belief. I mean, Keith, North Koreans are really under the gun, literally, as it relates to being persecuted for their faith. And so when Donald Trump talks about the fact that if they shoot their missiles towards Guam, that we are going to respond with fire, fury, and power like they've never seen before, I think he's on target, don't you?
Well, I certainly do, Gary. This is so horrific to hear. It's not a great surprise because the leader of South Korea is not known at all to be a reasonable, sane individual. He doesn't operate by any principles except being the most brutal, horrific kind of person that he can. He is not at all a participant in the world community. The attempt to have any kind of dialogue or even diplomacy with him directly is just certainly an exercise in complete futility. And we know that there are people around the world like this that live in oppressed places as believers. And one among everything else that I was thinking about as you were talking, Gary, this should call us as God's children to real prayer of intercession for the people in Korea as well as around the world. But as the situation in Korea escalates, and if their leader insists on carrying out some of his diabolical threats, our government will have no choice if they honor the Constitution and our freedom but to respond against them. And that will put those Christians in even greater jeopardy, likely at the hands of their own government. So we need to pray that they will have an extra measure of God's grace, his presence with them. Perhaps God would grant some, many of them, we wish all of them, a means of escape, even from the brutal regime. North Korea is known as the Hermit Kingdom because it is totally controlled just by one man who is diabolical, likely satanic, oppressed, if not possessed, in what he is doing. Those believers are indeed in a very, very serious way. And yet, Gary, they're also at the same time are reports that the number of believers in North Korea is increasing. It is as though the Spirit of God works in their hearts, and when they are in the midst of such dire circumstances, people come to the end of themselves. They realize that the only place they can turn is to a God in heaven involved in the affairs of men who cares for them and loves them and who has provided for their redemption. And we certainly need to pray that any fires of regeneration like that are being kindled, are stoked and nurtured and continue to blaze.
Well, let me ask you a question. This situation in North Korea is heating up, particularly with this threat that they've given, and I believe that they will do everything they can probably to follow through with it in shooting their missiles toward Guam. And, you know, that's very, very serious. But you're talking about the fact that the church, as it were, is growing in North Korea, that the amount of believers in North Korea is growing. And, of course, we realize that that's often what happens under persecution. Therefore, Keith, how should the United States of America respond to this? I mean, you know, Donald Trump is talking about this idea of fire, fury, and power, the likes that they've never seen over there before. But if we come down upon North Korea, then not only are innocent lives going to be killed, but so are the lives of believers going to be taken. Now, you know, this is sort of a fine line of distinction here. And so I'm wondering if you can help us sort this out a little bit as a pastor of 50 years. On one hand, you know, it's Donald Trump who's got to defend this nation. But in the case where you've got a lot of believers there in North Korea, this becomes a moral and a spiritual decision. How does one make decisions based upon this information?
Well, I think that our government has a responsibility. Scripture gives them a responsibility to defend our freedom, to uphold the Constitution, to fulfill the responsibilities that they have been given, number one. Number two, the believers in North Korea are already in danger. Their lives are already being taken. If we do nothing and sit back, they're going to continue to suffer. Now, surely, if we take action, some more of them will. But Gary, that's always been the case when a nation has gone to war. When our troops went across the Atlantic Ocean in World War II by tens of thousands, they were going, they knew, into harm's way. Some of them were young men and women who knew the Lord, who would lose their lives over there. And some of the major invasions were calculated in terms of the percentage of those that are in the invading force who likely would lose their life. So this is an unfortunate and very sad part of this sin-cursed world in which we live. Now, thank the Lord that some of these people that lose their lives in such a conflict know Christ and will be with him in glory. I think of the thief hanging on the cross. You know, today the Lord Jesus said, "You'll be with me in paradise," and we can offer the folks hope.
Well, that's the thing to take into consideration. The Bible tells us that as Christians, we are absent from the body and present with the Lord. And so, you know, those Christians that are being persecuted for their faith now in North Korea would indeed be much better off in heaven, would they not?
Yes, they would. They certainly would be.
Something to consider, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we are going to talk about pastors preaching to the issues of the day. So stay tuned. This is Stand in the Gap for this Friday. We will be back right after these messages.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to switch gears here a little bit. In fact, this is what we were going to talk about the last two segments of today's program until we got this information about Christians being persecuted for their faith in North Korea. But you know, the Word of God deals with every issue of life. And a part of effective biblical preaching for the pastor is that of putting forth an effort to make proper application by bringing the Word of God to bear on those issues of life that are faced by people in the congregation and in society every day. This is to be done in order to show three things. Number one, that God is concerned about all things we face. Number two, to show that the Bible is relevant. And number three, to show the divine perspective on the issues of life. As a matter of fact, as we study the scriptures, we find that the Word of God reveals that there is a biblical precedence for pastors and preachers to address the issues of the culture on a consistent basis. For instance, the prophet Samuel confronted King Saul when the king offered a burnt offering that he was restricted from offering, as is recorded in 1 Samuel 13. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to the kings of Judah about the wickedness of the nation, and in doing so, called them to repentance and warned them of the judgment that would come if they did not repent, as seen throughout the book of Jeremiah. In the New Testament, John the Baptist rebuked the leaders of his day, actually referring to them as a generation of vipers in Luke chapter 3. And then we find the Apostle Paul spoke of Christ when he was speaking to King Agrippa there in the 28th chapter of the book of the Acts. And even beyond that, down through recent years, and in our generation, there have been pastors and preachers who have brought the Word of God to bear upon the issues of the day, including men like Jerry Falwell or James Kennedy, both who are with the Lord, and others like Jim Dobson, and we could list a whole host of other individuals. But Keith, I want to go to you and ask a simple question. I think is simple, but may be new to some people, and that is this. What does it mean for a pastor or a preacher to bring the Word of God to bear on the issues of society?
Well, I think, Gary, it has a very clear meaning, particularly in the immediate in which we live with the situation in North Korea. You know, people are going to enter churches, houses of worship tomorrow with this thing very much in the center of their thinking. And they are asking themselves, and by extension, they're going to be asking those who will stand before them in their pulpits, well, how do we respond as believers to this, to the danger, to Christians living in Guam who may be in immediate danger from Korea? Now, I would suggest, first of all, that pastors would surely want to call their congregations to public prayer in behalf of this circumstance. Pray for wisdom for our leaders. They are faced with incredibly heavy decisions, and we're instructed in Scripture to pray for them on a regular basis, but more than ever, it is needed. We need to pray for the people that are in North Korea. There needs to be an uprising there of some kind in some way against leadership. And then I think our people are going to have to be encouraged not to fear, but to trust in God. I remember in January of 1986 when the shuttle Challenger blew up shortly after it had taken off. I remember listening to the memorial service out of Houston, Texas on the radio, and they read from Psalm 46. I happened to be in the pulpit that Sunday morning, and I preached from that psalm. Everybody was thinking about it. Great words for us today. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though Kim in North Korea does whatever he thinks he might want to do. Good words for us in this crisis. Our people want to know God's answers, and as pastors, we have to, I think, understand that a part of God's purpose in these things is so that we can properly draw the line on the principles of Scripture that have application to them.
Keith, that's an excellent approach to what's going on in the world today. I mean, you not only shared with our listeners how pastors can and should preach to the issues, but you illustrated it by how they can encourage their congregations this coming Sunday, because I'm not afraid. You know, we talked about this on the program yesterday. I'm not afraid of what Un is doing over there in North Korea, because I have trust in the Lord, and the Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. It's God who takes care of us. But there are maybe millions of people who will be walking into churches on Sunday morning who have a great fear on what's taking place in North Korea. And so pastors can address this directly and give that comfort and strength and, well, even a solution to people's thinking on these issues that we're facing today.
Well, there's no question about that, Gary. And I would take this one step farther. You know, this is a crisis week, and we're in crisis times, and certainly there needs to be special prayer tomorrow and even attention given to this thing from the pulpit. But in truth, this kind of an emphasis ought to be taking place on a regular basis across our pulpits. People should be regularly reminded that the principles of the Word of God apply to every segment of society and culture and life. There is no difference between things sacred and things secular. God's principles apply to all of it. I know there are those who want people to compartmentalize their faith and not bring it into the public square, but it belongs in the public square. We must take it there. Just last Sunday, our pastor in our church was talking out of Colossians, out of the sufficiency of Christ. And in the process, he mentioned that the sufficiency of Christ is then sufficient for us to obey God in everything. So there is no issue with transgenderism or which bathroom people should use, because this is an issue where the Word of God has spoken clearly. If Christ is sufficient, it is sufficient. We believe it. Just that kind of a regular emphasis, I would hope, as many of God's people this week, Gary, already thinking, we don't need to fear. God is in control. He is sovereign. He is on the throne. He will protect us.
Absolutely. But here's the question, Keith. Why is it that many pastors shy away from preaching to these issues over the pulpit?
They're afraid of controversy. They want to scratch people that have itching ears. They're afraid of their own people. They're afraid if they preach even what they know is the truth. I've had pastors come to me over the years in my own community and say, man, I appreciate the stand you took on this week from your pulpit. I wish I could do it. My people won't allow it. Now, they need to do it anyway, and they'd find out their people would not be, probably most of them, as hostile as they think. But I think there are many who do not have the commitment to the fact that every bit of the Word of God is inspired. Mm-hmm. And every bit of the Word of God has principles that apply to life. Now, therefore, what are George Barna's statistics? 4, 5, 6% is all the pastors we have that are really sold out, committed to proclaiming fearlessly the principles of God into mm-hmm. the public square across their pulpits.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is true. And boy, there's a whole lot more that we could talk about on this issue. But in 15, 20 seconds, Keith, could you close us in prayer today and pray for pastors?
Certainly. Heavenly Father, we do pray for pastors tomorrow as they go before their people. Give them great wisdom, give them great compassion of heart, give them great boldness. We pray that they will proclaim your word in a way that people will find Christ as Savior. Mm-hmm. Would you give to our leaders also the wisdom they need during these trying days? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We will be back on Monday, so I trust that you'll be there by the radio. Until then, keep looking up. The best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.